Welcome to this edition of the Equity Reading Group on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is an initiative of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. The Equity and Reading Group exist to coordinate a reading and listening groups that are open to all NCRA members on an ongoing basis, covering material related to equity, anti-oppression, communication, conflict resolution, and to create participatory programming content. Sessions reviewing materials will be read and listened to with the goal of enriching knowledge and understanding of equity and anti-oppression among NCRA members in the fulfillment of the Association's Statement of Principles. So I'd like to welcome the members to this edition of the Equity Reading Group produced by CKUT. Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We have six participants joining us by Skype, and I'd just like them to do a round of introductions. Who would like to go first just to introduce yourself and maybe speak to your interest in equity issues?
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm Megan Thomas. I am the talk coordinator at CJSF 90.1 FM, which is on unceded Coast Salish territories. And so I am Skyping in from Burnaby, British Columbia. And I am also one of the newest members of the NCRA board, being voted in during NCRC 2015. I think equity has always been something that I've been interested in from a feminist perspective, but in the last few years through the NCRA and through working in community radio, I've learned a lot more, and now can kind of identify that as an interest in mostly through access, the idea of that.
Who'd like to go next with their intro?
I can, Michaela, and I'm a student, and I've been involved in the same-sex relationship for quite a while, and I've just always been really interested in women's issues and women's rights, and I'm also interested in journalism, and I think radio is where I want to go, and so I'm kind of just experimenting with different fields, but this is what I'm interested in. So I was just kind of hoping to listen in and see what things are like.
Great. Then Mike gets passed on. Who'd like to go next?
I can. My name is Victoria King, and I'm the volunteer coordinator at CKUW in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which broadcasts from occupied Anishinaabe King. I've been involved with this group for the last year or so, along with my colleagues Robin Erickson and Michael Welch. And I think my own interest in equity just sort of started through getting involved with the radio station. It really being involved with CKW has opened my eyes to so much inequity and oppression that exists. And I don't know, it's just really fascinating and motivating, I suppose, to try and make the world a better place. So I'm glad to be joined with you all today.
Thank you, Victoria. Who'd like to go next?
I can go. My name's Carly, and I'm a volunteer at CILU, also in Anishinaabe Territory, Thunder Bay. And I got my start in community radio, doing a queer radio show as part of a collective. So doing equity work and social justice work has always been the focus for me in community radio.
Great. Thanks, Carly. Who'd like to go next?
I can. I'm Sarah Newton, and I'm the vice president of the NCRA currently on the board of directors. I also got involved in community radio through Women in Radio programming, and I was part of the Women's Hands and Voices caucus that established much of the policy and framework we have in place now as the organization. And I'm really excited about some of the work we're embarking on, so I hope to shed light on some of that throughout the conversation.
And Laith, I think you're last. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, so I turned on my microphone. My name is Laith. I'm from CKUT Radio McGill in Montreal on Mohawk land. My interest in equity has always been because of where I am from and where I come from as a member of a community that is discriminated against and or misrepresented, media and equity in the media spaces has been always very important to me.
And myself, Gretchen, I'm also affiliated with CKUT. I've been working in and around media movements for almost 2 decades. My start in community radio was in pirate radio movements in the States, and I have also have roots in the independent media center movement as well. So a lot of my media work exists around trying to create new structures and not replicate the oppressive structures of media, not just in the content they produce, but also in how media production is organized. And so that's initially what drove me towards the community radio movement, and always working within this movement to improve accessibility and to use community radio as a weapon in the fight against oppression. So I want to welcome you all to this edition of the Equity and Reading Group. We are dealing with two letters of resignation from the NCRA, the National Campus Community Radio Association Board of Directors, that were shared with the members in June. These letters have been circulated to everyone that's participating on this call tonight, and we'd like to put these two letters of resignation in conversation with the NCRA's Statement of Principles. So for those of you who are not familiar with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, there were multiple meetings in the 1980s to establish this organization. One of those meetings in 1987 in Toronto, Ontario, resolved the following. Be it resolved that the NCRA holds as a fundamental principle that community broadcasting services, the needs of socially, culturally, politically, and economically disadvantaged groups in society. Be it further resolved that member stations of the NCRA encourage programming policies that prohibit material that is sexist, racist, homophobic, anti-Semitic, or that maligns differently abled or economically disadvantaged peoples. Again, that comes to you from the NCRA Statement of Principles approved at the National Campus and Radio Conference in 1987 held in Toronto, Ontario. So in terms of proceeding today with our discussion for this edition of the Equity Reading Group, I would like to start with the resignation letter from Christiana Clemens, who is from CFRC in Kingston, Ontario. This letter was emailed on June 10th and shared again with the membership with the NCRA board meeting minutes of June the 9th. The letter is very brief. I'm presuming all of you had a chance to read it and probably have lots of great comments to share. I'd like to know who would like to go first in terms of putting this letter in conversation with the NCRA's Statement of Principles.
Hi.
Yep.
I'm unmuted now. I just wanted to say that just from a really, from a kind of a personal perspective, but I know being part of the board conversation. I mean, this was one of my first experiences on the board, so it left a huge mark on me. I think that what the letters, both letters, put forward, I wish it went without saying, but it doesn't. That we're very brave and we're very, It was really brave and generous of these two individuals to put forward their issues, put forward their experiences like this, and to really take that on. It wasn't it wasn't something that they necessarily had to do as part of their resignation. So I just wanted to say that off the top, that was had a big impact on me, and I really appreciated them doing that, especially in light of the issues they were talking about. And this is Megan from CJSF.
Thank you, Megan. Anybody else want to add to that? Opening up the conversation to put this into conversation, Christiana's resignation letter with the Statement of Principles of the NCRA.
This is Leif from CKUT. Looking at the resignation letter of Christiana in accordance with our mission statement and objectives. It's very clear that she had rooted her resignation in that. And in the work that is supposed to be done in community radio in general of representation. The other thing that is very clear to me is that the main problem that we're having constantly at the NCRA are mentioned there at with her letter, which is the systemic issues, the systemic problems of discrimination, and not the momentary experiences of aggression that happens in homogeneous spaces like the NCRA is at this moment. Those are, I think, the most important issues, but both in the mission statement, how it actually deals with these issues as a systemic problem, and also in the letter of Christiana.
Would anybody like to add to that or to share their own comments? We had Megan thanking for the public presentation of these resignations, which I know was not easy to do, to write these letters and share them in such a public way. And I think it's well appreciated even by the fact that we're having this equity reading group. In terms of Lace comments, he spoke to Christiana's letter highlighting that this is not a response to the moment of singular events. I too, when I read the letter, noted that she pointed to structural, systemic, and actions rooted in oppression. Did anybody else have any other comments they wanted to share on that letter?
I don't know. I guess having acted on the board for the last little while, it's Sarah here. I was really shocked by, I understand how that's problematic, and we've been acknowledging and working on that, that candidates are not elected unanimously by members, and we're working on ways to outreach right now, because elected by 15% of members is problematic and underrepresentative. But the fact that we function as a majority rule body that easily overpowers or undermines the needs of a minority, I didn't actually have that experience. I see repeatedly the board of directors chaired by people who are very conscious about everybody getting equal representation, and we work to come to consensus and inform each other's opinions. So I was a little confused as to where those particular comments came from.
So just to point out, Sarah is speaking to a comment made in Christiana's letter that says that there was a comment made during the conference that the NCRA members need to trust the board, and if they don't, they can elect a new one. And Christiana's conclusion from that statement is that this unfortunately misrepresents reality. Candidates are not elected to the board unanimously by members. They're elected by less than 15% of members. The board itself also functions as a majority rule body, which Sarah is acknowledging works generally by consensus and hears all voices at the board. But I think Christiana's sentence goes on to say that this body of the board can easily overpower and undermine the needs of the minority. And when I read that sentence, Sarah, I see the minority as being those people who are not necessarily elected at the board. And she says here, Christiana says, in my experiences, the minority is consistently comprised of equity-seeking individuals, which in my experience of 10 plus years at the NCRA, those are not the individuals who get elected to the board, or if they do, they almost certainly do not get reelected. And we saw that when equity officer after equity officer would come to the NCRCs with a report on the needs to address structural, systemic, and acts rooted in oppression, either within the NCRA or within our member stations, and those people not being reelected to continue doing that work.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying.
Other comments? Megan, do you want to go ahead?
Sorry. One of the things that I find quite difficult in having these discussions is that in theory, and rightfully so, the idea of these systemic issues are very apparent. one of the things I find difficult on a personal level is moving from the personal, addressing the personal, to addressing the systemic, and not necessarily recognizing that, but how do we do that? And I think I really read in Christiana's letters, the really highlights the the vacant space between those that were having a real trouble bridging. The interesting thing is that often when we're addressing kind of our interpersonal communication, these are rooted in systemic understandings, right? Or at least that's how I see it. And so, you know, one is not distinct from the other, though, you know, talking about, oh, well, we should just treat each other better is to me obviously not the only answer. And it is not with any real basis as that being like the solution to the problem. So I think what's important in Christiana's letter is that is the overlap between the governance methods and the way that we communicate, which for me is where she's talking about micro and macro aggressions that are rooted in systemic issues. What I'm hoping with coming out of letters like this on a wider scale is the idea of really taking care in how we communicate, not because that will necessarily solve these issues, but in order to actually engage with each other about these, that there's a bravery and a clarity and an honesty of communication that I think can really be increased at the board level and at the committee level as well. And I think these two letters were real examples of that, regardless of the whether, you know, what you could pick out of them. That was my response to the idea of the minority versus the majority. I mean, how I read it was that ultimately the board is not working on a consensus basis. It is working on a vote basis. So anytime you have those types of structures, they are going to reflect what the larger issues are. And obviously that is happening. And I have only been working with this board briefly, but I haven't necessarily had my own point of view cemented yet, but I will say that I 100% understand how the perspective that there are these conflicts. And so it's going to be really interesting in how we incorporate these kind of overlap between the personal and the systemic communication issues that seem to be getting in the way of making the kind of policy systemic changes that are really needed here. And that's kind of what the kind of quandary that Christiana's letter seems to be addressing, and that she wasn't getting the support that she felt she needed to address that.
So we've heard from Megan and Sarah. We also have Victoria, Michaela, Laith, and Carly on the line with us. I'd invite you guys to jump in on this conversation. We're pointing to the second paragraph of Christiana's letter, where it speaks about the board and being able to address the needs of the minority, whether it's a minority opinion that's on the board or a minority of equity-seeking groups within the entire sector who might not be represented at the board because they're not elected at the board. So there's a question of how representation happens for equity-seeking groups at the board. Other reactions to any other part of Christiana's letter or to join the conversation on the part that we're focusing on now?
I guess when I read this, I kind of think about how the NCRA is a reflection of things that I see happening at individual stations. And so with these elections, like the people that are allowed to vote in them, for example, are the people that are already in positions of power at the stations. And the stations that I've been involved with, most of the people that are in those positions of power have a lot of privilege. It's usually a lot of white men. And so I think that like that they elect their peers, and these kind of issues kind of continue at like the NCRA level that are happening in these individual stations.
In fact, that highlights one need within our sector is to address equity data. What kind of data do we have of not only representation of past boards and current boards, but also currently making up our stations. And I think that could be very informative with regard to the question that Carly raised of who is actually voting and sending delegates, and who are those delegates to National Campus Community Radio conferences, who's engaging in the association, and who's also in those positions of privilege and power within the stations, not just within the in the NCRA. We had Laith and also Michaela, we have not heard from yet.
And I'll speak up very quickly, if that's all right.
Oh, yes, Victoria. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Yeah. Victoria, thank you.
This is Victoria from CKUW. And I think that my reaction, Carly, I appreciate and, just appreciate your words just previously. And I'm going to take those in and reflect on those. Personally, my own reaction to the letter, firstly, I have so much respect for Christiana, and I really admire her and respect her work so much. I can say from my position that I don't feel like I've been involved long enough with the association by and large to understand the complexities and the intersectionality of all the issues. But an important part I feel like to point out and that I'm thinking about right now is simply that, like, these letters, the only thing that I can think really is to accept and respect the experiences of these individuals and, believing whatever they said and their own experiences and respecting that, these are really hard things to go through and, just believing them and trusting their own interpretation and by and large what's going on, what they feel is going on.
One thing that we've incorporated at our station, CKUT Radio here in Montreal, is to interview board members, other members who've participated in station management. So, for example, volunteers that have served on the steering committee. We've also implemented exit interviews for staff. And that helps to highlight some of the experiences that might have led someone to have less than a fully 100% positive experience at CKUT, whether as a volunteer or staff member. It also institutionalizes a lot of lessons learned, knowledge that would otherwise just disappear if we didn't have these documented in exit interviews. And what's really interesting from an equity point of view is when you look at a series of exit interviews, you have a lot of rich information based on the different equity experiences. And that's what I see. Another value of these letters is we have it written down and it's been shared with the members. It's been documented. I want to bring in Michaela, who has not yet spoken on this letter, and then maybe we'll hear from Laith as well. Go ahead, Michaela.
Thank you.
If you have any comments.
I'm also in the position that I haven't been involved with the board at all and really am so new to this. I don't really feel comfortable commenting on it. But I just don't feel like it's my place to say anything. I don't feel like that's right.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Michaela. Laith, did you have any other comments on Casey's letter?
Sure. So I was thinking basically in terms of it was mentioned that we can see this merit at different stations and how different groups are isolated and or underrepresented and so forth. The reality is that looking at the mission statement of the NCRA and understanding that the communities that drove to create both the NCRA and the International Community Radio Association, AMARC, which was created at the same time in Montreal. At the time, also, the NCRA had its head offices created in Montreal. The drive was representation of underrepresented communities on the airwaves. In general, at that time, big chunk of that was the Black communities and the Latino communities in Canada. And that was one of the things that rooted this advocacy work for equity in communities in the NCRA and community radio in general, above and beyond the struggle that the indigenous peoples had to have their rights to have their own broadcasting, and the struggle in the 70s for Quebec liberation. Those things drove, which all of them are about representation of cultures and identities that are not our mainstream dominant society. So looking at the changes in the stations since then, on the ground, you know, we had an explosion of licensing of rural stations coming from homogeneous communities that don't have much of the issues that we deal with, and also the changes in immigration patterns and the exit of old communities and the entrance of new communities from the land of the war on terror, as we call it, that were not given spaces on our airwaves since their, you know, immigration to Canada. We rarely can find shows from those communities. That's those realities. All those changes is what we see right now at the NCRA. You know, we have ethnic communities that are getting corporate private licenses issued by the CRTC, which represent actually the majority of new licensing that is happening at the CRTC, corporate ethnic stations. Indigenous communities out of the community sector into their own indigenous licensing. And here you go, you have now a clear exit of all these communities and very little representation of them, both in the local and the national levels, echoing. And now we have, instead of an NCRA, that is supposed to be an English broadcasting, English language broadcasting umbrella, and the arts, which are supposed to be about French language. Now we've got ethnic, actually, divides. Those who are not English as in that, ethnically, are not in the NCRA. They are the English corporate ethnic stations and or these indigenous licensed stations that don't have membership as a community station. And the French are on their side.